According to our next guest, the world is suffering from a pandemic of indignity. It shows up every day in big and small ways in the wars taking place all over the world, as well as the unnamed wars inside our workplaces, schools, churches, in our families, and within ourselves. These wars share the same root cause. We have lost sight of a fundamental truth about the human condition, that we are all born worthy of being treated as something of value. We are all worthy of being treated with dignity. Dr. Donna Hicks, associate of the Weatherhead Center for International Affairs at Harvard University, has a new book out called Dignity, The Essential Role It Plays in Resolving Conflict. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Donna Hicks to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome.
What got you thinking about dignity?
I started thinking about dignity probably long before I even knew what I was thinking about. But more recently, I have been doing, as you mentioned, I've been doing international conflict resolution in all parts of the world. And what that means is that I would facilitate dialogues between warring parties. And I started out in the Middle East, but then I also did projects in Sri Lanka and South America, did a U.S.-Cuba project. But one of the things that was common to all of these conflicts in which I was facilitating dialogues was this unspoken and underlying issue of dignity. And what do I mean by that? Well, we brought the best and the brightest people together in these communities. And they were, believe me, there was no shortage of intellectual ideas about how to resolve these conflicts. But when we were sitting at the tables, I could sense that there was another conversation that was going on that really didn't have anything to do with the political issues that we were trying to resolve. But there were times when the parties just got very upset, they got angry, they pushed back from the table, you know, they crossed their arms around their chest, and they basically disengaged. And being a psychologist and tuned to this other kind of unspoken conversation, I thought to myself, well, what's going on here? There's this emotional undercurrent that's sweeping through these conversations, but nobody's really talking about it. You know, we're ostensibly talking about how to resolve the borders, where to put the capitals, you know, how to resolve all these objective political issues. But these underlying emotional upheavals were so present in the room. And at one point, I said to myself, we have to surface these emotional issues because it's halting the process. We can't seem to be getting to an agreement. And at one day, I was just had this epiphany, and I thought, well, what if we talk about these underlying emotional issues as dignity violations? Because it was so clear to me that what wasn't being said were things like, how dare you treat me this way? Or, you know, how, you know, don't you see my community is suffering? We're human beings here.
Mm.
And so I just came up. It was so interesting. It just popped into my head one day. What if we call these wounds, which are so obvious to any of us sitting there, what if we talk about them as dignity violations? And lo and behold, when I labeled those emotional issues dignity violations, everybody started talking about times in which they felt their dignity was violated.
So when it comes to the way we act around other people, whether it be inclusion and acknowledgement and recognition and fairness, why is it so often that we are hardwired to commit these dignity infractions in the sense of that seems to come more naturally to us than it does for us to approach people as being neither inferior nor superior?
Well, you know, it's part of our biology. It's actually part of our internal wiring that says when we perceive threat coming on, and threat, by the way, isn't just physical threat. Threat, especially in the 21st century, a lot of the threats that we experience are really assaults to our dignity, and we are hardwired to react that way. And I think one of the important things that this work around dignity exposes is the multitude of ways in which we unknowingly actually threaten each other's dignity. And so the work that I've done for the last, 10 years around this issue is really try to bring to consciousness the ways in which we are, number one, unknowingly, 9 times out of 10, we don't even know it. And yet our biology responds to those threats to our dignity without even thinking. And so you're quite right when you say we don't seem to naturally know how to honor people's dignity, but we do seem to naturally know how to respond in many ways an undignified manner when somebody does threaten us. It's just one of these things about what we've inherited as a, in our evolutionary legacy. We respond to a threat to our dignity in the same way that we respond, our brain does anyway, in the same way as we respond to a threat that is physical in nature.
And I certainly don't mean to gloss this over because there's so much more to it, but the way you described it, of simply by identifying it as a dignity violation, that it seems to change us, would indicate that it isn't that hard to turn around. We just have to identify it.
Well, here's the thing. When we feel like our dignity has been violated, when somebody treats us as if we're inferior, or if we're discriminated against, or if we're excluded from something, or, misunderstood and not given the recognition that we deserve, all of these things produce a response in us that is, it's humiliating. It's just, we get this huge shame attack when someone treats us badly like that. And the thing is, the barrier to understanding these deep issues of having our dignity violated is this shame response. And, it's such a impediment to understanding what's happening, to why you're feeling this way, because the shame is just floods us when people treat us badly. And so by calling these emotional wounds, what we now know are emotional wounds, and by the way, let me just say in parenthesis that research shows that some of the latest research coming out of UCLA shows that when we experience a wound to our dignity, it shows up in our brain in exactly the same area as if we had a physical wound. So this goes to show you how we really have to pay attention to this and take it seriously. So, but the point about the shame is that what we have to do is reinterpret what happens to us during one of these dignity violations. And reinterpreting it, if one were to say to you, look, you're an inferior person, or I don't want you as a friend, you don't belong here, all of these things, if you were to interpret that as, wow, somebody just violated my dignity, instead of thinking in a shameful way, gosh, there must be something wrong with me if that person treated me this way, it's a big switch in our understanding of what happens to us when someone harms us that way. And it's not like it's automatic, as you suggested, but it's a dramatic reframing of what happens. Because it's one thing to say that something bad happened to you, like having your dignity violated. It's quite another thing to say, there's something wrong with me, because the fact is something actually wrong happened to you. There's nothing wrong with you. And that framing is so helpful to people.
What is the difference, in your opinion, between dignity, something, as you point out, that can be violated, and being dignified, which is a way that we act?
Well, if someone else violates our dignity, it's and as I just pointed out, it's as serious as a physical wound. So we really want to pay attention to it. We want to not, respond in a knee-jerk way. And this is typically what happens without real training in understanding how to respond to a dignity violation. So often, people will respond in kind. They'll want to get even. They'll want to lash back. They'll want, to seek revenge and retaliation in some way. But if you train yourself because to me, the better part of dignity, maintaining our own dignity, is being restrained, is to restrain ourselves when someone attacks us so that we don't, in turn, become perpetrators of the same dignity violations. Because we don't want the bad behavior of other people to determine how we're going to act. So being dignified means, in my way of thinking about this, it means that we have to restrain ourselves because we don't want to do the same thing that was done to us. We want to maintain our own dignity, even in the face of somebody who's doing us wrong.
As you point out in the book, accountability is very important, to take responsibility for your actions. And if you have violated the dignity of another person, apologize and make some sort of commitment with yourself not to to alter those hurtful behaviors.
It's so true, because you know, the fact is we are nowhere near advanced enough in the evolution of our understanding of this, of how we actually harm each other psychologically by committing dignity violations. We do it so often that it's not a question for me. The solution for me is not a question of never violating somebody's dignity, because we're always going to get caught up in the heat of the moment. And we can certainly do better than what our hardwired instincts have are directing us to do. We definitely can learn how to behave better. But there are going to be times when we mess up. I mean, you know, I say, look, folks, I have good days with this stuff and I have bad days. I get hooked by, you know, conversations with my husband and we get into these squabbles. But, so we're all going to do that. But the question is, what do you do? And the fortunate thing is, the apology is so meaningful and helps so much when we get caught up. And it's just, sometimes, let me tell you, it's like drinking vinegar. It's the last thing you want to do, because you know we also have these instincts that say we're right all the time. So apologizing, taking that first step and saying, look, you know, I did lose it. I'm sorry. I'll try better the next time. And it just goes such a long way. And believe me, I have yet to meet anyone who is a perfectly dignified person and never violates others. So the apology is the best option.
The name of the book is Dignity, Its Essential Role in Resolving Conflict. It is published by Yale University Press. Donna Hicks, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate your time and your expertise.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Dignity, Its Essential Role in Resolving Conflict. It's published by Yale. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.